the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say that Liam O'Connor joins us now on the line as we look ahead to Dublin against Croke Park at Dublin against Cork at Croke Park on Sunday. Liam, good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
It's early, I'll get it right eventually. We spent a lot of time previewing the game this weekend and it feels like most of our pundits are convincing themselves that Cork are going to get it done. Wishful thinking?
I wouldn't say wishful thinking, but I don't think it's that simple maybe. I don't think either team, Dublin or Cork, have been on fire this championship. Dublin have been sort of stuttering through a little bit. Donegal, Waterford in their group stages. The Armagh game was tough for them. And the same with Cork. I mean, they played Kerry and Munster. Then they played Cavan. I think they'd scored 7 goals or something against Cavan. And then, in fairness, they had a convincing win over Galway. But it wasn't an unbelievable Cork performance. So from you're hoping that the two teams are peaking at the right time to give you a really good game of football. But I'm presuming both of them, that's what they're aiming for, because I don't think either of them would have been entirely happy with their championship to date by their own standards, not by anyone else's, you know.
Do you think that that's, and on Dublin's part, maybe the lack of consistency that they might have had in previous years, is that indicative of where they're at the minute, or is that just a bit of rustiness that needs to be blown off and that everything comes right then on Sunday, or is it more of an indicative of a bit of a downturn in Dublin, because that's some of the case that's been made in terms of the case for Cork here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's been a funny year for everybody, so it's very hard to know how to judge that form. Is it just with the stop start nature of training, and some counties may have dealt with lockdown and in and out better than others and held consistency better. So maybe they struggled. Maybe they struggled when they were apart and they had to train on their own. Who knows? But I do think that there's enough, it's not like there's a massive turnover of players, there's enough talent and experience there that they're now in an All-Ireland final and they're now playing Cork. So the recipe is all there for them to get it right or to build up to a good performance. They've had a couple of games under the belt to get rid of any of the rustiness, I think.
Have Dublin generally stepped up to the plate on All-Ireland football final day over the last few years? Are you seeing generally a better performance from them when it matters the most?
Well, I think that's been the difference, though. You know, they lost 3 in a row, and I was part of my last year that we were 9 points ahead of Cork, and we managed to lose the game. So that's been one of the big differences with this team, is that on the big days when it really matters, when you're 2 points up or 2 points down, that you're able to stay in the game and you're able to make the good decisions on the ball. And I suppose that's again one of the things that Mick has really developed with this group is. I think Dublin have been fit for years, and Dublin have had decent footballers for years, but it's the level of analysis and understanding of decision making on the game in the context of high pressure environments that have made the difference. Like, why did you pass that? Why did you just shoot aimlessly there? Why didn't you pass it to the runner off your shoulder? You're 40 yards out and you know you can't score from there. So I think that type of approach to performance has been a key difference for this group.
What changed? Does Mick Bohan deserve all the credit for that, or is there other people who came in to change that mindset and to change their approach to All-Ireland Final Day and not getting burdened by it but actually embracing it?
I think there's a lot of people involved in it. Yes, Mick is the manager and he picks the backroom team, so he picks the people who come in around, so he's got to take a lot of credit for it. I think Shane Carney has been involved with stats, and he's very good in terms of stats and analysis and that attention to detail. Elaine Kelly, an ex-footballer, an ex-teammate of mine, she's a clinical psychologist and she's been part of the backroom team. And she's, for her own admission, she's not a sports psychologist, but that sort of dealing with being a high-performing athlete and dealing with all the ups and downs of that, she spent a lot of time making sure everybody is happy and able to deal with the pressure of performance or when you get dropped or when you don't understand your job on the pitch, and just tying it all together. I think they've been two key pieces that have developed this Dublin team for sure.
In many ways, then, Cork almost have that psychology bedded into them come this final, and they have done for a long time. It matters having the history of wins against Dublin, against the country as a whole for so long, that necessary arrogance that you need going into an All-Ireland final, that's not going to be a problem for this Cork team.
No, and playing against Cork, it was like they're frustrating. They were, I found them a very frustrating team because they're actually, there's a lot of nice people on the team, so it's very difficult to hate them, you know. Yeah. But they're when you play against them, as you, they were champions for so long, and they're still one of the top teams in the country. But they do have that arrogance, and they're like they've good club setups and all of that. So Ciara O'Sullivan, Anya O'Sullivan, Dearan O'Sullivan, all of those, Saoirse Noonan, who's now soccer and Gaelic, Martina O'Brien, the goal, like they all have that confidence and swagger and belief that we are the Cork Ladies footballers. So therefore, it should be no surprise if we're in an All-Ireland and winning All-Irelands, because that's what we do down here in Cork. And they've earned the right to have that confidence, I suppose. And the fact that they have, that Dublin have now won three in a row, I think for that group, that will really get under their skin, I think, because they started out in Cork in a time where their county was dominant. And I would imagine it's very, very irritating for them that Dublin have now won three in a row.
The strength and conditioning and the fitness clean has been something that's been spoken a lot about this week. Dearan O'Sullivan was talking about it earlier in the week in the context of Dublin being so much fitter than Cork. And then you hear the argument slightly counter to that. And I suppose both of them have enough of that to show things like, particularly with Cork, their ability to get back and track back when the break is on and snuff out those attacks, get numbers behind the ball, I suppose, essentially. What, both of them have that capacity. What does that mean then for the game on Sunday in terms of, like, it could end up in a fairly low scoring affair, or how do you think that plays out?
Yeah, well, I think Cork are just as fit as Dublin, to be honest with it. They're great athletes, so I think that imbalance I don't think is there. Watching Cork against Galway, one thing that did strike me is they do get back behind the ball and they do crowd out the D, and you've got to work very, very hard to get anywhere near their goal. So what that's going to mean for Dublin is they're going to have to shoot from distance. You may get a sniff here once or twice in the game to get in and get a shot away for goal, but the half forward line, so Carla Rowe and Lindsay Davey, and Niamh McAvoy didn't start the last day, but maybe today's the day where they're going to need her in terms of being able to shoot from distance. So that decision making is going to be really, really crucial. If Cork are back and they're very good at keeping the kind of defensive arc very solid and pushing attackers out and not letting you break the line. So if that's the case, the Dublin forwards are going to have serious, serious patience and keep moving the ball. Don't get caught in the tackle, because Cork are strong in the tackle, and then make really good decisions in terms of when to shoot and where to shoot from. Because if that defensive setup is strong and is consistent, people can sometimes, they just get a little bit panicked and they see, oh, I don't know what to do. We passed it six times. We've been holding onto the ball for too long. I need to shoot. And often they're shooting out of range or from a bad angle. So that decision making up front is going to be very important. And then I guess from the other side, to my mind, one of Cork's strongest elements is their forward line, is Ciara O'Sullivan and Anya and Dearan and Saoirse and Orlafin. So all of those, Dublin, there's definitely going to be some man marking jobs done. And they're athletic, they're strong, they're tall. So Ciara, Saoirse, Anya, they're all difficult people to mark, just from their strength and their power and their football skills as well, never mind anything else. So you're talking about Siobhan McGrath, Sinead Goldrick, Niamh Collins, Martha Brent. They're going to have two jobs to do. They're going to have to win their individual battles for sure. It can't be a case of whether you pass Saoirse Noonan off, you take her, now I take her. It'll be a lot of one-on-one battles which are going to have to be won. And then secondly, in terms of Cork, do have a good ability to play as a unit up front. So that discipline not to leave any gaps. And I feel like I'm sort of arguing against myself here. But that's the balance of defending, in terms of knowing when you do not leave your player and it's a one-on-one, or, okay, this threat is now too big and we've got to go back and protect the ball or protect the goal. So that balance is going to be really important against Cork, because you can't afford to give any of those players any room.
It was interesting, we've spoken to a lot of the players this year, and we've spoken to Mick Bohan about that win against Galway in the All-Ireland final last year, and there was a real sense of disappointment almost about the fact that the game was such a poor spectacle, that they felt that they had roles as ambassadors to actually have a better spectacle to talk about after an All-Ireland final last year, which was remarkable to hear from a team that had just won three in a row. Do you expect this year to be a better spectacle because you talk about that Cork defence and you look at a packed defence sometimes and that can often be the start of a downfall when you hope for a spectacle from a football game?
Well, your first point about their positioning themselves as role models, I think is one of the things that's really driving their standards. Mm. You talked about what's made the difference, that I think when Mick came in, he decided that the standard of inter-county football and support that these squads get has to go up and we're going to start doing it. And players bought into that. So therefore, they're raising their standards and their expectations of themselves. And that's been an important part of what they've tried to do as a group. So, yes, they were absolutely disappointed that they felt they let the sport down last year in terms of the performance or the spectacle that they provided. So this year, do I expect a kind of battle of the defences, low scoring? It's a possibility. You can't say it isn't. But what I would like to see on show is really, really, really good points and shooting for points. That often we don't see that in ladies football. Maybe not often, but at the more so at the higher levels. But when you go down the divisions, the shooting range is smaller and there's a lot more goals scored. So I would like to see two well orchestrated, well organised defences, but excellent forward play, excellent decision making, and some really good scores. That's what I think this final could bring, because you've got people. I've mentioned the Cork half forward line before, and I've mentioned the Dublin half forward line. You've got players in there who can shoot from distance and who can give a really good display of attacking football. So I'd like to see both of them bring that this weekend, because that's something that sometimes we don't see as often in ladies football.
Some of that point taken might depend on the fitness of Sinead Ahern. I don't know what you're hearing, if anything, but feel free to let us know about that and also your prediction for the game of the weekend.
Yeah, Sinead's a big part. One, from a free-taking point of view, from a leadership point of view. I word from here is she's hopeful. That's as far as I've heard, and I kind of don't pry too much with Sinead because she's so private and she'd tell you where to go anyway. But hopefully it would be very disappointing for her and for her teammates if she didn't make it for the final. But knowing her, she's doing whatever she can. Prediction-wise, I think Dublin will win by 2 or 3 points. And I think that I'm hoping that we get a really positive, tactically astute, but I suppose a showcase from these two teams, because they haven't met in the final in a year or two. So it's about time they did again, and it's about time they showed off their standard again.
Yeah, and let that be the big story of the year from women's football, if we can at all. Cliona, thanks a million. Enjoy the game at the weekend.
Thanks very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.